All right, here we are in Kokomo, the fourth Wednesday of October. Thank you very much for having us on this little dreary, cold, I guess fall is quickly approaching here.
Yeah, the climate shifted on us a little bit very quickly. That we had the warm days on Sunday, and it's gotten a lot colder today, so we'll see.
Just really quickly to go back a couple weeks, I believe the city budget was passed. By the city council. I know you talk money, budget, some people might think it's kind of boring, but it's a big portion, of course, of how the city runs. Anything new in the budget for 2018?
You know, you're exactly right. It is kind of the mundane work that has to take place, but nothing shocking in the budget. I am very proud of the council. Really does a good job of looking at it, and we've come in every year under budget. We're going to do that again this year, 10 years, but it's an important part of what we do. And as I tell people, you can look at, if you want to see somebody's priorities, whether it be an individual, a business owner, or city government, look at where they spend their city budget. You know, we look to see where they're spending their money. And we have, tried as much as in the last few years to shift some of the money to parks and to trails and to make our community beautiful. And I think that's starting to pay off.
Any special, maybe one line budget items for next year?
There's not anything, we have some capital projects. Nothing out of the ordinary, just a lot of capital projects. And we'll evaluate those over the winter and where we're going to make some improvements and some amenities with the parks and the trails. But we have some ideas and probably won't do all of them in 2018, but we'll do some over the next couple of years.
And the governor was here recently to present, was it $800,000 for road funding too?
Yes, and that was our community crossings, our share of it, and we had local government officials from all over this region, and it was a nice event handing out the big checks. And so we have three projects that they are supportive of, you'll see those, they're under design, and those will start to be under construction next year. That will make some improvements to our roads, and like a lot of cities, we're doing the smart streets or the road diets and things to make, as we redesign our streets, to make them more for people, not just automobiles, so make them more pedestrian friendly and bicycle friendly as well.
Mm-hmm. Something that it just seems like you can't wake up and read the news and see that the opioid epidemic, just another day, another headline. We've been covering this from Columbus to Brown County last week, and now I see where some new statistics just came out for Howard County that point to 2017 will be the deadliest on record in county history.
Up to this point, 2015 had been the worst year. Made a little less of, had a few less last year. This year's going to even surpass 2015. And as I talk to people, I mean, there are no easy answers. And this is not, even though the problem exists in Kokomo, this is not a Kokomo problem. This is not just an Indiana problem. This is a national problem, specifically in the Midwest and some of the southern states, and even though each mayor and each governor has to attack this in different ways, it's really part of a national problem, and the president and Congress both recognize that, and as well as our governor. So we're doing our part. We obviously are trying to stop the problem. Right now, we still have a prescription drug problem where people are being overprescribed. Maybe not as bad as they were a couple of years ago, but we are still prescribing drugs at a higher rate per capita than we were 15, 20 years ago. So we've got to quit. Work on that end of it as well, and as you may know, the city is joining some other cities from the state of Indiana and across the country, and suing some of the distributors of these opioids, and hopefully that will stop the distribution part, so we can tackle the issue at hand.
You mentioned that lawsuit. Can you just give a little bit of background for those that may not know what that's all about?
Yeah, some other cities have basic stuff, and because we are getting ready to go into litigation, I have to be very careful what I can and cannot talk about. But you have some distributors that that really are the gatekeepers, and their responsibility is to see and make sure that that certain networks of doctors are not prescribing at a higher rate than they should be, or if they are, it's not at a different percentage level, some of those things. So they're supposed to be paying attention to that, and we don't think that's been happening over the last decade or so, and that's been a big part of the problem, as is the easy access that people have had to some of these prescription drugs.
Mm-hmm. And this is something that this is not just an Indiana type lawsuit of Indiana cities. This is a larger.
Right. We're part of. Yeah, it will be an individual lawsuit, but it will be coupled with some of the other cities that are doing the same thing across the country.
What do you hope that Kokomo can, or the effect that Kokomo has on this?
Well, I think if they're held accountable, obviously they'll start policing this much better and much faster, and start at that level. Again, that can slow down the distribution end of it. There still are people who are facing have addictions that are out there, and obviously treatment is the best case for them, but you know, as we look at it, you know, to get to be able to access treatment, you have to have some sort of. Most people don't have the money to do that on their own. It has to be usually part of their insurance plan or something that's taken care of through Medicaid. And so it's really important that more people have access to quality health care, and that's not happening, and that's not the direction that Washington D.C. is taking us. So really, that could have a worsening impact on communities across the country.
And then just here now, in terms of the city itself, what can local governments, and maybe not just the city of Kokomo, you know, the county and other cities, you know, it just feels like, you know, where's that breaking point that, like, how much can cities do?
That's the first thing I think we should do is, and I see this in so many other cities as well, not just Kokomo, but people want to localize the problem. And it is not, as I mentioned, it's not a Kokomo problem. It's not a Bloomington problem. It's not a Terre Haute problem or a Columbus problem. It's a problem that exists in all those cities. But it's not because of anything specific to those communities, if that makes sense. So the first thing we need to do is not trying to recognize that this is part of a bigger problem. Equate it to terrorism or something that homelessness, something that is not just specific to one or two communities. Something that has to be tackled at the national level, at the state level, and hopefully at the local level. So that I think that's the first part is not to localize it so much, so that we can really look at it from a realistic standpoint of what are the big challenges that we're facing. I think that's the biggest step is talking about it in broad terms.
So when you see places like Indiana University allocating $50 million to the state to help fight the drug addiction, is that what you're talking about more?
Yeah.
Those bigger picture things?
Right.
And then does that filter down?
Yes, because it's not specific. We could even make it in a smaller area. This is not a problem in one neighborhood or on one side of town or things like that. And that's what we have to do, even though it is personally for those that are impacted. Of course it's local and of course it's personal. But the concern is you're not going to solve the nation's homeless problem in one city or town. We can do our part and try to deal with the impacts and things like that and come up with some ways to mitigate the problem. But really the solutions are things like access to treatment through national plans and an overall policy. And they're doing that. Even the president has appointed, I think it's Governor Chris Christie, to head this up on a national level. Our Governor Holcomb has appointed Jim McClellan to take over the statewide, to handle this on a statewide basis as well. So it is taking place, but I think the conversations have to be bigger than just individual problems and neighborhood problems and just city problems. It has to be talked about on a national level.
I noticed a Kokomo Tribune report of a $6.5 million, it's an affordable housing project. It got tied up with the Plan Commission, but now recently was passed.
Yes, the Plan Commission had a meeting a couple weeks ago, ended in a 4-4 tie. The president of the Plan Commission was unable to make the meeting, and so we had to go back and have a special meeting on Monday night, and it did pass 7-1, so it moves forward to the City Council. And what this does, this is about, I think, $6.5 million of private investment in tax credit housing, and these will be townhomes, three-bedroom townhomes for families. And the area we're targeting is on the south side of Kokomo, in the area that was impacted by the tornadoes both in 2013 and 2016. So this will be a little shot in the arm to the neighborhoods down there. And we've put it into two different areas that are in close proximity. So it's not, I think there's 46 units. They're not in one, concentrated in one area, but spread out over two. So we can clean up a couple of areas that need a little bit of investment.
So just curious, I know some residents spoke out against it, and of course it had to take that other meeting. What was that issue?
There was for different people there were different issues, but I usually say a lot of times it's fear of change, it's something new. It can be one or two neighbors that there's always somebody, it's a national term, it may be even an international term, it's called NIMBYism, NIMBY, not in my backyard, and that's usually, we run into that a lot of times with things, and I would say that was probably the biggest concern. I think it's a great project, not a block or two away from me, and we've run into that with just so many things, but usually when things are finished, it all ends well.
I wanted to get just a quick take on, I see you had a water main break earlier this month, and the city of Bloomington had a couple too, and come to find out, at least there, 75% of the water infrastructure is more than 50 years old, so I've got a lot of catching up to do. Is this something that's common throughout the state or here in Kokomo too?
It's common throughout the country, but yes, in Kokomo. Now, keep in mind, our water system is privately owned through Indian American Water, so it was their water main that broke, but yes, across this country, and it's been talked about for the last couple of decades, and you can go from coast to coast, older cities have older infrastructure, and so these things are becoming more common. Unfortunately, and there's a lot of work that needs to take place. But yes, it becomes inconvenient for residents and expensive to go underground, repair that, and then kind of patch the street back up. So yeah.
Yeah, we talk about roads. Of course, everybody uses roads and they get frustrated, but they're going to get more frustrated when there's no water to their homes.
That's
but you don't see that.
You don't see it. And so it's kind of, that's right. And sometimes it can be out of sight, out of mind. But just think of any older city that's been around. We have newer parts to our city that were developed in the last 5, 10, 15 years that obviously don't experience these problems. But in the older parts of cities that have been around for 150 years or so, you have this older infrastructure, and so that's the process. But it's a national issue.
Yeah, I see you were on a panel with other mayors for Leadership Indy. It was on workforce development, kind of a broad topic. But one of your tweets jumped out at me. It said, "Everywhere you go in the world to pitch Indiana, people ask about workforce and roads."
Yep.
Why are those such a big concern?
Well, keep in mind, and Amazon told us, they kind of laid out the playbook in the last month or so with their criteria for their location of a second headquarters. Talked about they wanted to be in a major metropolitan area. They wanted access to a a talent pool, you know, that those young educated people that have possess the skills for not only the current work environment but for the future, and they want, you know, good public transportation systems. They want quality of life. All those things. That's really what Amazon told us is really what every other business is looking for, but probably on maybe a smaller scale. So, you know, the name of the game is talent attraction. How do you attract those best and brightest to your community? And that's through quality of place initiatives. And you know, some cities are doing better than others. Some are not making those investments. They're managing their decline or just kind of working their way and muddling through that. So, you know, that's what I talked about, that the cities that are making those investments and have that vibrancy and the things that people, making your community a place where people want to live, is the first step. Businesses look, and when they look at is there an educated workforce? They want to know if the workforce will be healthy. So they look at those things, and so everything we're trying to do is to create a more healthy Kokomo and a more educated Kokomo.
We were talking about tech firm companies and how they tend to, at that time, they may outgrow where they're at and have to go to a bigger metropolitan area like Indy. And come to find out, the more we talked about it, the more that it was said that it's more of an ecosystem of, it's not so much competing against Indy or competing maybe against Lafayette or Kokomo or Bloomington. It's all that it's Indiana. You're competing against San Francisco.
Sure.
And so do you see that as well here in Kokomo?
Absolutely. You know, growing up here, we've all heard this term for the last couple of decades, and you've heard the term the brain drain. And what that was, it wasn't because our public schools were not doing a good job of educating our young people. They were doing a great job. But when these young people had a chance and an opportunity to go leave the state, go to other places for college, or for employment, they tended, not everybody of course, but a large majority of them did not come back to Indiana. And because a lot of times we didn't focus on making great cities. I think we've started to recognize the importance of that a couple of years ago. They started the Regional Cities Program to invest in our cities, to create these regional hubs. The cities they selected were Fort Wayne, Evansville, and South Bend. But it's to create that magnet city where that would attract those type of people. But yeah, it's something that Indiana is really not focused on up until really the last couple of years.
Next week, Halloween, trick-or-treat hours are set, I assume?
The police department normally sets them, but I think it's probably standard hours, which I think are 6 to 8, but I might be off.
Oh, we'll look that up and post that. What do you do as mayor? Do you have a thing? Do you dress up?
No, I don't dress up. No costume this year? I probably won't do
come
a costume
on.
This year. We do hand out candy at our house, and then... youngest is 15, and I can't remember if she dressed up. I think she did last year. Not sure what her plans are. Usually my plans are dependent on her plans. So.